One of the activities I saw that you were listed as the president in 1953 of the Association of California Hospitals. Was this all in the same time that you were working on these other...
Oh, yes. That was a very interesting time too. There was a lot of mobility there as far as people in California. There was a flow of people from coming from the east out here. Mm-hmm. It's almost a migration of people during that period, and it was a question. We were involved in even in those days we were getting hospitals interested in belonging to an organization. I think we had as membership in that time just about 285 hospitals in California, not as much more than that. But this is the time in which we were consolidating people and getting them to work together. If you understand in getting statistical information, one group of hospitals did not have, like the Catholic hospitals, were keeping their information only unto themselves, would not transfer. And in this and developing hospitals, we knew we had to know something about the economics of it and the charges. And we knew that we had to know something about the pay scales for employees. And we had to get together, and we knew what legislation that was coming up, that was coming in, both in favor of and unfavorable to hospitals in the health field, that the Public Health League at that time was composed of the doctors and dentists, and those groups were in there. And we finally got the hospitals to be part of the public health group before doing the lobbying in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because they were affecting, these new laws were affecting hospitals, and so we thought we should have some say in it and have our own lobbyists there. And then our lobbyists that we had with hospitals would be the ones of the Public Health League, so we didn't have to go outside. And then at that time, we started to work closer with the doctors. At that time, there was not the closeness between the hospital and the doctor that there is today.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we had a difficulty in getting the doctor's degree to Blue Cross. So it finally worked out so that it was to their advantage, as they saw. But I don't blame them. Now, here you had some new people coming in the field, wanted to change it and to stop the thing, and you had somebody else picking up the check for them instead of the patient, and there was a difference in the... People have to think things over a little bit before they make up their mind. And so this was where we were in this state of flux in which we were developing these things during that period. But you can understand, so to go back on this other, with Blue Cross, we were unable to get certain religious hospitals to conform to giving us information. But one of the hospitals locally, in sending their reports to Blue Cross, made a mistake in billing for their billings into the Blue Cross. And the auditor came down to see me. He was in my office, and he said, "George, I've got to find out about going over to this hospital to find it because they made a mistake. It's in their favor of $2,000." And I said, "Go back up there to and get that check for $2,000, and I want it right now." And we took it over to this religious institution and gave them the $2,000. We had completely broke the logjam from then on, and that group of hospitals gave us all the information that we ever needed.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see how these things, people didn't know each other, you see. Yeah. So these things, it kind of makes you feel good that you're in the beginning of all of this. So then we developed this CAS deal in Southern California, which developed the CAS for the preparation day and all the rest of it, and that then developed for Southern California. But Northern California came down, see, Blue Cross of North, Blue Cross of South developed that, and then they took ours, and then we ran so that we had information in California. Then New Jersey came in next, and these all they fired ours, and so that's where your funds had started for the statistics from four hospitals during that period. The fun might be in the middle of this. And then we had to develop, and then we developed the county then, prior to the war. I was developing the needs in the area. And a chap from University of Michigan was out and developed it and ran the first study with government hospitals for Los Angeles County. Mm-hmm. It was interesting there.
Your county facilities and your teaching all came along,
and then the affiliation with the universities came along a little bit later, but. Okay. You take your nurse's training at one time. When I started in, it was done from and by the nurses in the hospitals, and they would teach then, and then they would graduate their own group there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My aunts were in that in Chicago and went into that, and that's when they would work the 20-hour mm-hmm. day duty, mm-hmm. and. But what you said, how did the planning come in? That was a part and portion of the planning that came in. And it was at the point where if you didn't have your nursing school, you would look down, those hospitals would look down upon the others that didn't have the training for them and were taking girls away from them and other things. So that is another thing that had to be straightened out and developed during these early years.
Mm-hmm.
Is all taking these varied types. You see, in the field of hospitals, you have all types of organizations. You can have a city or a state or a county hospital, and you can have it run by government.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can have the St. Mary's, which is run by sisters, which has the mother house is down in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
You have different types of controls there that you have. Or you have Community Hospital, which was started as an off group from Seaside Hospital that liked to run the things their own way, and so they came over and built Community Hospital. And there you had a different type of control at Community than you did over at Seaside, which became Memorial. You had Harriman Jones, which was proprietary,
mm-hmm.
which made it different from all the others because they had a feeling that you were doing it for profit here. Well, they weren't doing it because they were non-profit. So there's where you had your sphere of influence coming either from the political body or from a charitable body or from a proprietary body.
Mm-hmm.
To operate and give a type of service that they're all giving. So to get those people together so as to work together, because even the administrator or the business manager or the superintendent, whatever his or her title might be, had different controls, and they would get together on a meeting, and the superintendent of this place could not speak with the same degree of authority that the superintendent to the other, because he or she had different type of rules that they had to conform to. They put up by the same systems. So all of these things had to be leveled out over this period of time so that one administrator, the administrator over a community hospital, is doing the same work similar to the administrator over at Memorial, and the girls over at St. Mary's are doing along the same, and they're getting the same information and processing it the same and charging it the same to patients and getting involved with their insurance companies in the same way. Now, to get all these together and get those various factors was the interesting part of that whole area.
Sounds like a gargantuan task to do all of that, to coordinate that all.
But this is where it just came to be fun.
Well, I think that some of the members of the Bixby family were on the board of Community Hospital early on.
Mrs. Davis's mother was on the board.
Oh. And what was her name, Mrs. Davis?
Mrs. Cass. No, they were not on the original board. Mr. E.S. Tucker was, Mr. Buckley, Mr. Branson, of course, Mr. Congress.
Mrs. Fred Dixie was on that board, yeah.
I'm thinking
of you. You can get more history of Long Beach out of Virginia.
Maybe I should.
Well, it was always so nice, you see, because when I would have the people coming in, why, she'd come in and tell me that who their second cousin was, and other thing. I had no problem.
My aunt came when I was 6 months old and married myself. Mm-hmm. So she did, you know, grew up with her,
That's when they ever put... Your family, I think you're the only one who didn't go to Poly, weren't you? Didn't your sister go to Poly?
My sister went to Poly because Boston wasn't built for Ireland. The men's company was for Ireland.
Her mother was very active on the community hospital in the very beginning.
My mother was in the during the war years, the Fort Wall Mine, she was head of the mine sales for the public.
Oh.
And we used to go down with the public plan there and Saturday night they had a
this was the button.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, Dr. Jones had his office down there next to the Belton Building, didn't he?
On Pine Avenue,
yes, right.
Well, also, it's interesting to read about Dr. Jones.
Well, he was the first city health officer, and the second exalted order of the Elks, and all the rest of it. And,
reproduction of a photograph of his first hospital in Bayview, this little bungalow, little house that he had.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Do we have a copy or have a... Well, the Enloe property is what you're talking about. That's Seaside. Seaside is Enloe. That's right over here on Broadway. That's why it's called Seaside.
And that was the first hospital.
Yeah, but no, the first one was over there on...
Seaside.
Well, that's the first big one. But I think the first one he went to was prior to this, was the one on Daisy.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then I read that he was involved in the, building the Long Beach Hospital, which is 10th and Linden, which is now in St. Mary's.
Oh, yes, that's true, yes.
Along with other
hospitals. That's right.
That's wonderful, huh?
When did your history start, right from the beginning, from Walmart?
My history at Long Beach History starts far back as we can go, but primarily what we're doing is when the Bixby's acquired the serious and Alameda, because we don't have much of anything on Mieto or
I went to school with Manuel Mieto. Oh, you went to Grand Canyon. Yes. And see, the father of the Big Street lived in a beautiful big mansion, which went down in the
estate
at the corner of Mary's Drive. There was Gilson and Llewellyn were his sons.
Well, there was Gilson and Llewellyn who were the original ones who came, and then they had sons named the same names. And
well,
so
Llewellyn is the one that's living.
Yes, I know. I didn't have any of these gentlemen.
But their home was across the street, there on Ocean and Monticello. Went down in the earthquake. I'm sure it's the original.
Yes, the original Seaside Hospital on Broadway and...
You see that? Yeah, that's... But he was... there was something I was going to add at the time. I don't know what it is now.
Well, the health officer,
yes, he's the one that started giving the shots to the youngsters, you see, on diphtheria and all the rest of it, and measles and whooping cough and all the rest of it. And it was during his term that he was city health officer that started.
Mm-hmm.
But, you see, he graduated from Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
Which is now Stanford,
mm-hmm.
took over. Mm-hmm. And then he went back and did work back with Kellogg at, the Kellogg Battle Creek, Michigan, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went from there, then he went to further work in Detroit. No, in New York before he came to Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
His family's from Mountain View.
California,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he came down here, and he was quite the young man about town there for a while. And stayed at the Virginia Hotel,
mm-hmm.
all the rest of it. Interesting things. Some of the things, of course, in the clinic over there now are from the Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the big pictures are from there. And, of course, one of the tables... It's upstairs in the library. There's one from there. But and I think I have one or two pieces of furniture that's from the... when the doctor died, and they didn't know what to do with the furniture, so I take a couple of pieces and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But he was another one that was first in this field in so many things.
Mm-hmm.
So many things. And he was, along with that, he was an excellent surgeon. I think he had quite a bit of the Hollywood business there in the early days.
Oh.
That's when they used to come down to the Long Beach area. Didn't Patty Arbuckle live over on Ocean Boulevard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, Mary Pittsford.
They have studios in Alameda, and she made many pictures there. The Balboa Studios?
Yes.
See, that was right back in San Antonio.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Well, Dr. Jones
had a nephew,
after Alan Jones. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is he a partner in the...
Yes, he became one of the partners during the time that the doctor started taking in the younger people with him as soon as he could. And but he graduated from Virginia. Yes.
I can tell you that.
No, that's all right. It's all right.
I can tell you what he
does. Let's see. Well, he did work. I know where he got his...
He graduated, he
went to Loma Linda. Yes, I know that. Then he worked in Pennsylvania.
College medical evangelist.
Yes, right.
He did an internship in L.A. County General.
Well, yeah.
Did graduate, postgraduate work at the University of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I know that part, yeah.
Telephone surgery at Robert Packard Hospital in Pennsylvania.
That's the one. That's where you got that.
Yeah.
So now he had the affiliation with the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Was his uncle a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Dr. W.
In his early years, yes.
Mm-hmm. Was that, both Dr. F. Herman Jones, was there any of tie-in with the Seventh-day Adventist Church and the clinic?
No, never was. Not at any time. No. That was, it was thought sometime there was, but there was no tie. Harriman's father was Charles Floyd Jones, and he ran the Pacific Press.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the one that takes care of all the Seventh-day Adventist journals and publicated books and publications and everything.
Mountain View.
Mountain View, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when Harriman, I should have known Loma Linda without any question, but he was an excellent surgeon, and of course he was in the war, and he was over into New Guinea, and he picked up TB over there. So he was over into Leonard Fitzsimmons over at in Colorado for quite some time. And then he came back and then did a lot of work, for the church, and a lot of he married Geneva Beattie, and this is the nephew.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a lot of missionary work for them. From even going down at the from Africa, they got down at Queenston down there and went all the way up to Cairo by car, visiting all the various spots in Africa, which was quite interesting. But they've given lots of their time to the that time.
Mm-hmm.
And she and both he and Geneva spent time in over in India, all these other spots.
Mm-hmm.
They were on their own, and they would do it. They would visit these various compounds that they were. And they'd come back, and then they would, Harriman would get together, and he'd say they need a compressor down here, and they need the electrics, and so they'll send down a generator down there, and they can put on the river, and make lights for the operating room.
Mm-hmm.
One light bulb is what they probably get out of it, mm-hmm. but it was something they didn't have. So he did a lot of good work along that line for an awful lot of people. Very kind, very nice individual.
Was TB the cause of his death?
No.
Because he was fairly young when he died, I think, considering.
No, I think it was some type of a growth that he had there in that time.
Well, his uncle lived to be something like 80.
Yeah, that's right. He was born in 76, I think, wasn't he?
Yes, I have also, because I have copies of his obituary from the...
Well, you have more information. You have this on so many people, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
You know where a lot of the bodies are buried.
I know they're always talking about. I know the printable stuff. The Longview Public Library has an excellent history collection, biographical history collection. And so when I do an interview, for example, I wanted to see what they would have. I found one clipping on you and Mr. Bodenhausen when he was president-elect of the California Hospital Association.
Mm-hmm.
And then quite a bit on Dr. Harriman Jones when the clinic was opened and all of that.
I'm going to go down
there. And, I make photocopies of what they've got and some interviews with Dr. Harriman Jones is to... Dr. Harriman Jones can remember Long Beach as a baby, when it was new, and when he inspected the new health department, a health center.
Yes, indeed.
27th Street.
Yeah.
Avenue Street.
You ever heard of the Elverdale Club? That was the young boys, the young men, and their club that they had. And he was quite It was quite a nice club that they had in town here.
What did they do?
Well, let's see. They ate Finn and Hattie. And that was what next to make their meeting. And then they played a game with cards. And you could draw some of them, even, I don't know if they know. But and they would bet on them too, you know. That's what they would do afterwards.
Did they ride horses or something like that?
No, that might sound that way, but no, that was the thing. It was, they'd play cards afterwards, you know.
Mm-hmm. So strictly a social.
It is strictly a social affair, yeah. The interesting thing that they would always have Finn and Hattie, though, and Dr. Jones had a game room there.
Where did they live?
At various homes, various houses. Oh, yes, right. And I was kind of indoctrinated with the group over a period of time. But I'll never forget the first time that I'd been in town, been at the clinic for at least 10 days, and he invited me to come over. And I had the dinners all right, and started sitting on the table, and here I was, we were playing poker, and everything was going on fine. And I started winning. Well, here I am with a brand new job and out here, and I don't know any of these people, and I don't know whether they can afford to lose their money. I couldn't afford to lose it myself, so I didn't know. I did beautifully well until around 12 o'clock, and then I decided what time that I went home. And by 1 o'clock, I had lost my money, which is, I had to, because I didn't know what else to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always regretted that, because these folks were all, they were attorneys and quite well-to-do people and during that. But I hadn't met them before the first time. And I, with, as long as most of them, I think all of them are dead now, but they would still remember the time that I gave the money back to them. They knew that what I was doing, but they were going to take it anyway, you see. So they couldn't understand how you were so smart and a good player in the beginning and then at the end, what happened, how you did that. But it was a nice group, and they were, I won't mention the names, but they were all very well-to-do people in Long Beach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was my first introduction to them. And I've never trusted them since that time. No, I don't mean that. They're very good.
Well, I imagine that you wanted to get involved in community activities so fast then, because I've seen the picture in Barry's book of the his year in J.C., the 38-39 year, and the salute to the states and the 50th anniversary celebration of the community.
Yes, have you heard of the Exhausted Roosters?
No, I don't think so.
Virginia, would you like to bring over the Exhausted Rooster's plaque?
Exhausted
Rooster, Jack Bob,
outstanding member,
1938-39. That is one of the, I've got all the plaques that I have, and the ones that are signed by the governor you can have, but that is the most important one that I have.
What did they make you do to make you so exhausted that year?
Well, the thing is that in this, we still get together the same as group, Barry and some of the rest of us that have that. And so they still run it each time. They still have it. And they still have the Exhausted Rooster from each one of the years. But the group that's in the 30s, we get together, there's about eight to ten of us left, and we meet once every 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
We think over at the International City Club.
Okay.
And the John Pop, is that, did you ever run across his
I've
name?
I've seen his picture and his name, I don't know.
Well, John was very active politically and with in this town and attorney. And he was a member of the Junior Chamber, too.
Mm-hmm.
that is the time where this we came up to the junior chamber, and that's when we first came in. And that's where so many of our friends that we have now developed during those years. But John was the up-and-coming young attorney in town, and he could sell anybody anything, so he would expound, you know, at these various meetings whenever necessary. But he's the one that thought of this idea of the exhausted rooster, and then he went over and had... That was drawn by a man out in Disney Studios.
It is.
And those are hand painted on that one. They don't now. They have the other ones, but they have printed. So that developed in which, and it's amazing that it's.